WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Good morning. This is James Flippin filling in for Noam Layden on this Tuesday. It's April 23rd. WABC Time Check 5:01 right now, sponsored by Bulova Watches. Discover finely crafted timepieces available at Macy's. And Hag Samach, happy Passover. Here's your Ramsey Mazda three-day weather forecast to kick things off. Winds mostly calm this morning, clear but cool around the tri-state. In fact, some in our listening area may actually be waking up to some frost here on plants outside. But later today, sunny skies getting up to 63 degrees. Overnight into Wednesday, increasing cloud cover, a low near 50. And then Wednesday, a 50% chance of rain, topping out at 67. Thursday, looking mostly sunny. 45 right now in Midtown Manhattan, 41 degrees in Linden, New Jersey, 38 in Levittown on Long Island. That's the weather forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. So back in 2018, I was working for a separate radio station, and it's the only chance I ever had to interview Mayor Eric Adams. At the time, he was Brooklyn Borough President Adams. And there was a story in the news back then, we're talking again 2018, where people were randomly being punched in parts of Brooklyn. Now, these were Jewish people who were being randomly punched, sucker punched, Hasidic Orthodox individuals who were getting attacked on the streets of Brooklyn. So at the time, I got assigned to cover the story. I went out to Brooklyn Borough Hall and I interviewed Mayor Adams. Again, at the time, the Brooklyn Borough President. And some of the stories kind of surrounding what was going on then was that this might have been connected to animosity towards landlords. In other words, people, young people, saw people wearing traditional Jewish clothing and they thought to themselves, oh, well, I know this stereotype. I know this. This is a landlord. This is somebody who charges me rent. And so I was asking Adams about that while interviewing him and asking, you know, what can be done to kind of, you know, push down and quell some of that anger, animosity, you know, some of that feeling that's misplaced in that respect. And I can't necessarily tell you that I remember anything particularly that he said or whatever the response was. It certainly wasn't anything I remember being sort of taken by or thinking it was so profound. But it does strike me these years later that the one time I ever interviewed the man who's now as mayor dealing with so many different crises, including this situation where up at Columbia, NYU, these anti-Israel, pro-Palestine protests are really stretching the limit of what is and what isn't allowed from demonstration perspective. Struck me as interesting that the only time I got to talk to him, that's something we talked about. Sort of a little bit of a foreshadowing issue type there.
Do not be afraid of being Jewish, especially in New York City.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes.
Nobody should be afraid of what they are, their race, their religion, their sexuality in this city.
And that's actor Michael Rapaport up in Morningside Heights yesterday afternoon at a rally organized by Sid and Friends in the Morning host Sid Rosenberg.
Right now, these cities, these states, our country, we're pathetic. This is disgusting what's going on here.
And coming up this morning at 6 a.m., you will hear more from Sid Rosenberg about that rally yesterday and everything that's going up at Columbia University. As of last night, there were 50 arrests made at NYU. Cops in riot gear stormed the Gold Plaza after students refused to disperse. It was around 4 o'clock. Cops had given these 400 or so protesters at NYU a deadline to disperse as there was an encampment set up there. And then around 8:30, dozens of arrests started to be made. The New York Times reporting some protesters refused to cooperate, so cops zip-tied their hands, loaded them onto vans. That's something we saw last week up at Columbia when upwards of 100 people were detained that way. Police moved in. The university said protesters had advanced past school barricades and behaved in a disorderly, disruptive, and antagonizing way. Also yesterday, cops in riot gear arrested 40 on Yale University's campus. Columbia University, we're talking about it so much, they were remote only, online only for class. And at that rally that Sid organized yesterday, kind of in solidarity with the Israeli students who many of them say they don't feel safe on Columbia's campus right now, actor Michael Rapaport was one of the more prominent voices. He decried what he sees as anti-Semitism in New York right now.
If this was a group of people screaming against tall people, short people, black people, Spanish people, Asian people, people with big noses, big feet, little noses. This would be stopped ASAP. This is not the New York way. This is an embarrassment to New York City.
And you try your best to draw the distinction with all this stuff that's going on right now between what could be classified as anti-Semitism and what is maybe anti-Zionism. You know, people who are more Zionist really strongly believe in the state of Israel, more likely to back their actions in terms of, you know, dealing with Hamas right now, that ongoing military conflict that's so controversial. But Rappaport, the actor there yesterday at the rally, did deliver a pro-Zionist message.
Israel is not going anywhere. Israel did nothing wrong on October 7th. Israel has the right to defend itself. Israel has the right to exist, period, end of story.
And he ended by wishing everyone a happy Passover.
I'm wishing everybody to pray, to think, to meditate, to scream, yell, beg if you need be for the freedom of our hostages. I'm Israel High.
And you'll hear from Sid about all of that, like we said, coming up for sure at 6 a.m., coming up on 5:07 right now, James Flippin filling in for Noam Layden this morning on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour. A well-deserved day off for Noam Layden as he is celebrating Passover with his family. WABC News Time 5:09, James Flippin filling in this morning on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour. So actor Michael Rappaport was outspoken at Sid Rosenberg's rally yesterday at side of Columbia University. But that wasn't the only actor making headlines yesterday connected to all of this, the back and forth in terms of people being anti-Israel, pro-Palestine. Alec Baldwin got into it with a woman who goes by Crackhead Barney. She routinely covers news events and posts content online. She actually got into it with Andrew Giuliani downtown last week during former President Trump's jury selection. I saw the two of them kind of going back and forth on a video posted to social media. So Baldwin was at a cafe, and that's when Crackhead Barney made an appearance.
Alec, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec?
And of course, what Crackhead Barney's referring to there is the Rust film set shooting in which a prop gun was supposed to be loaded with blanks. It was loaded with real bullets. And cinematographer Helena Hutchins was killed. Baldwin does actually face trial in that case coming up in July.
Alec, you're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
I'm so sorry.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone.
This is sort of her MO, the kind of, you know, bugging people on video like this.
I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time.
Call the
police. One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. You know he's a f***ing criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. Just one time.
Right, that's about as much of that as I can take. But Crackhead Barney getting into it with Alec Baldwin. We could probably spend the whole morning on the issues involving Columbia's campus and the Israel-Palestine-Hamas chaos that's unfolded here. You try to be fair to both sides. You know, people truly worried about the loss of civilian life in Gaza. I saw a spot on the Joe Rogan podcast where his guest was talking about Hamas's technique or strategy, if you will, where they basically entwine themselves with civilians in, you know, apartment buildings and hospitals and stuff like that. And this guest's argument was that, you know, that really can't be a get out of jail free card for terrorists, because if it is, then you can operate freely. Guess what? Other terrorists are going to adopt that strategy. But I will say I was struck by the demonstrations at Columbia last week.
You're what? You're Hamas?
Yes, we're all Hamas,
hey. I'm red Hamas.
That's you.
Get the out of our face.
So we're all Hamas. You can't classify one group based off one person, but you can't help but feel as though there's a pretty good deal of anti-Semitism mixed in with the anti-Zionist stuff.
Jai, we are willing to take you to the math lawn.
No, I am a professor here. Everybody quiet. I am a professor here. I have every right to be everywhere on campus. You cannot let people that support Hamas on campus and meet a professor, not go on campus. Let me in now.
And that's Columbia professor Shai Davidi. He's a controversial figure. He formerly served in the IDF. Some criticize him for that, given the ongoing debate over Israel's military operation in Gaza and the fact that so much of this centers on that, the debate there. And, you know, by the way, it's not as if Jewish students haven't faced violence here. A woman was stabbed in the eye with a flag over the weekend up at Yale University, Sahar Tatak.
Over the past week or so at Yale, anti-Semitic student protesters have taken over a central plaza on our campus, setting up a tent encampment, among other things.
And the tent encampment move, that kind of, you know, MO, has been rearing its ugly head, of course, at Columbia. Last night, a Jewish student at Columbia said he was assaulted and hit in the head with rocks by people on the pro-Palestine, anti-Israel side. He filed a hate crime report with the NYPD, and it says that it happened on Saturday night after this guy arrived on campus carrying Israeli flags. We know Ilhan Omar's daughter, Ilhan Omar, the congresswoman from Minnesota, her daughter was arrested and suspended at Barnard College for taking part in a protest that was deemed to be a trespassing event. And by the way, that's something that the NYPD talked about yesterday, their line for, you know, what is a legal protest.
If there's a protest anywhere, we have to respect people's First Amendment rights. However, people should be aware that if you cross that line and commit a crime, the NYPD will respond accordingly.
And that's Tariq Shepard, one of the deputy commissioners. But Isra Hirsi, a sympathetic figure for some, with the celebrity on her side regarding students suspended or facing suspension and other offenses for their involvement. So Isra Hirsi is Ilhan Omar's daughter. In the New York Post yesterday, they had a write-up about her. She talked about how proudly woke she is, how she's annoyed classmates with that fact in the past. And the congresswoman, Ilhan Omar, student's mom, had a tweet that she posted yesterday. Throughout history, protests were co-opted and made to look bad so police and public leaders would shut them down. And that's what we're seeing now at Columbia University, Omar says. She says that public officials and media making the situation about anything other than the ongoing genocide in Gaza are complicit and inflaming the situation, and they need to bring calmness and sanity back. The other big story from Monday was the fact that opening arguments got underway in former President Trump's trial for alleged campaign finance violations. The whole thing here is that Manhattan prosecutors claim Trump falsified business records because of a 2016 alleged payment made to porn star Stormy Daniels. And because it was not classified as a campaign expense, prosecutors say it should have been because Trump intended to influence the election by making that non-disclosure agreement payment. So with opening arguments having been made yesterday, we'll kind of take a look at what that was from prosecutors and defense attorneys and look ahead to what goes down today in terms of that trial in Lower Manhattan. But WABC News Time, 5:15. And so we're going to chat with Justin Ellick. Justin, what about that ejection for Aaron Boone yesterday?
Yeah, that was a little weird,
a
right?
A fan supposedly is to blame for that. What do you think?
Yeah, he didn't say anything. They actually did a really great investigative work, the Yes Network, that is. You know, zooming in on Boone, he was just kind of hanging out there. He got a warning, and then I guess the fan chirped again, you know, just moments later. And really, I mean, top of the first ejections are a little bit...
He was ejected five pitches into the game.
Yeah. Come on, you know, you got that short of a temper that you got to make it all about you, Mr. Umpire, that
Hunter Wendelstadt.
5 seconds into the game.
Hunter Wendelstadt, he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah, I mean, my God, it just blatantly wasn't even him. So at the very least, I don't know what happens now, but I think Booney deserves an apology. At the very least.
I wouldn't hold your breath on that one.
Some disciplinary action for Mr. Wendelstadt would be nice.
Well, in terms of the ejection, we'll talk more about that later this morning. But in terms of the action on the court and the field and all that good stuff, Justin's got more.
Thank you, James. On the hardwood at the Garden, we'll start with that action last night. Very exciting stuff. Dante DiVincenzo made a go-ahead three-pointer with 13 seconds remaining after a desperate scramble, and the Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers 104-101 to take a 2-0 lead in their first round of playoff series. The Knicks trailed by 5 points within the final 30 seconds before one of the more stunning rallies in playoff history, starting when Jalen Brunson finally got a shot to fall during an otherwise miserable shooting night for the point guard. Here's what the action sounded like, courtesy of TNT.
DiVincenzo finds Brunson. Great defense here by the Sixers. Brunson gets a prayer of a bounce. 2-point game. Maxi hits the deck. Hart takes it from him. Shot clock is off. DiVincenzo, no. Hartenstein with an offensive rebound. Another chance here. DiVincenzo. He's got it. The Knicks have the lead again. Their defense turning into offense. What a flurry for the Knickerbockers.
Hartenstein then blocked Maxey's drive, and Anobi made two free throws, and the Knicks held on when Joel Embiid missed a three-pointer at the buzzer. Brunson finished with 24 points despite going 8 for 29 from the field. Hart had 21 points, I should say, 15 rebounds. DiVincenzo scored 19 points. Game 3 is Thursday in Philadelphia. On the ice in Carolina, Sebastian Aho scored the tying goal late in the third period, followed by Martin Nuke with the winner 9 seconds later, and the Islanders fell to the Hurricanes 5-3, turning a 3-goal Game 2 lead into a 2-games-to-none deficit in their first-round playoff series. This one ended with some frustrations flaring for the Isles, several scrums between the teams, multiple players taking early trips to the locker room. Series will shift north to Elmont for the next two games, with Game 3 set for Thursday night. As for the Hockey Blue Shirts, they'll pick up round one action with the Caps tonight in Game 2 at the Garden. Puck drop there, set for 7 p.m. In baseball, the Yankees dropped their opener at home to the Oakland Athletics. Final score 2-0. On the bright side, Carlos Rodon, once again, better than good on the bump, allowing one hit over 7 scoreless innings, lowering his ERA to 2.70. He's given up 3 runs or fewer in all 5 of his starts this season. Up next for the Yanks, Game 2 against Oakland tonight, 7:05. Marcus Stroman on the bump out west. The Mets ended up on the losing side of things as well, falling 5-2 in their opener against the Giants in San Fran. Game 2 for them in San Francisco scheduled for tonight, 9:45 p.m. Eastern time. Luis Severino primed to take the hill there. That's your sports, James. I'm Justin Ellick, 77 WABC.
And I'm James Flippin, filling in for Noam Layden on this 77 WABC 5 a.m. news hour. Happy Passover to all in our listening audience. Opening arguments made yesterday in former President Trump's non-disclosure agreement trial, those some inclined to call it the hush money trial, as prosecutors with the Manhattan DA's office described what they said was a scheme to pay off women and have them remain quiet about affairs with Trump as he tried to win the White House back in 2016. Trump's defense attorneys countered in their opening statement that it's not illegal to try and influence an election and that that's how democracy works. In fact, there was an interesting op-ed yesterday from Andrew Weissman, a former federal prosecutor. He noted that it's sort of an odd case here where there's no inherent crime. In other words, signing a non-disclosure agreement with somebody isn't a crime. It could be if it was to further a separate crime.
The prosecutors introduced the case to the jury, accusing the former president of falsifying business records to cover up payments made to adult film star Stormy Daniels in 2016 over an affair. Trump's defense says there was no such scheme and accused Daniels of trying to cash in on the allegations. The judge in the case will decide Tuesday if Trump has violated his gag order, barring him from criticizing anyone connected to the case. I'm Brian Shook.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that Stormy Daniels actually owes Trump money from a 2018 court case in which she tried to sue for defamation, but that was tossed by a judge. So she owes money for Trump's legal fees back then. But prosecutors say it was a $130,000 payment made in 2016 to Daniels. They plan to call Michael Cohen as a witness. He did legal work for Trump previously, but he's also a convicted felon, something Trump's lawyers talked about in court yesterday. The first witness was called for the prosecution, former National Enquirer editor David Pecker, and then court was adjourned for the day. One of the jurors had to have an emergency dental procedure done, and there was also something else where a juror had nerves early on, which I guess delayed the proceedings originally.
This is a case that nobody wanted to bring, including Alvin Bragg. It was just at the last minute they decided to do it. It's a case that, if you're looking back, it goes back many, many years, 2015, maybe before that. And it's a case as to bookkeeping, which is a very minor thing in terms of the law.
And Trump speaking after court there, one of his biggest and most consistent points throughout his legal challenges over the past year plus has been that this is a coordinated effort, he feels, on behalf of the Biden White House.
I should be in Georgia now. I should be in Florida now. I should be in a lot of different places right now campaigning, and I'm sitting here. And this will go on for a long time. It's very unfair. The judge is conflicted, as you know. It's very unfair what's going on. And I should be allowed to campaign.
And, of course, he's not doing that because he's in court every day. Trump noting the Republican Party's leading candidate indicted here for what has been classified as misclassified business expenses.
Think of it. I got indicted. I'm the leading candidate. I'm beating Biden. I'm beating the Republicans now. I have the nomination. And this is what they try and take me off the trail for. That checks being paid to a lawyer. He is a lawyer, or was a lawyer. And also the things he got in trouble for were things that had nothing to do with me. He got in trouble, he went to jail. This had nothing to do with me. This had to do with the taxi cab company that he owned, which is just something he owned, and medallions and borrowing money and a lot of things, but had nothing to do with me.
And today in court, former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker expected to take the stand once again. So in just about 20 minutes, we'll get our next sports update from Justin Ellick. But what we were talking about before was this kind of bizarre ejection for Yankees manager Aaron Boone, tossed just five pitches into the game. And, you know, Boone getting thrown out of games is not so shocking or new. He gets thrown out of games all the time. But in terms of this game, he might have been thrown out for something he didn't say.
Oh, making that call.
You're not yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay.
Oh, okay, Hunter.
Audio courtesy Yes Network. So, yeah, basically, you know, Boone was jawing with Hunter Wendelstadt, the umpire, about something that had happened there early in the game. I guess whether or not a player had gotten hit, something like that. And then from there, you heard Wendelstadt basically warning Boone, don't complain anymore, don't say anything, or else you're going to get thrown out. And that's what happened.
Well, there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything. Aaron's saying, hold on a second, I didn't say a word.
And here's some people yelling, it was the crowd, it was the crowd. There's some thinking that maybe actually it was the guy sitting in the stands behind Boone who was, you know, giving the umpire the business, and that's why Boone got thrown out. And this is my favorite part of the audio, by the way.
Anything,
it sounds like a parent and a kid arguing. I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. So, you know, Boone, to no avail, argued his case that it wasn't him. That audio courtesy, the Yes Network. And Hunter Wendelstadt's a longtime umpire. He denied afterwards that what he heard came from a fan. He said it came from further down the bench. And that rather than go down the bench and try to yell at somebody on the Yankees for saying something they shouldn't have, that he was going to toss Boone because he's the club's manager and that the manager had to face the music. All right, so WABC News time, 5:27. So we've been talking about it all morning. We're going to continue with the story. Everything that's going on at Columbia University, NYU, these anti-Israel, pro-Palestine protests. And right now, all 10 House Republicans from New York have called on the Columbia University's president to resign. This coming as hundreds of students have occupied the campus for days, protesting the administration, Biden administration's response to the Israel-Hamas war. Last night, 150 students arrested at NYU. Earlier, we had heard that it was around 40, now more like 150. This after 100 or so were detained last week at Columbia. And New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, one of the more noteworthy alumni of Columbia University, he's speaking out about the whole issue. And what does President Biden have to say? We've got that, as well as the case of an Arizona rancher who is accused of killing a migrant on his property, what's going on with his trial right now, as well as the Department of Justice threatening to sue the NYPD. Those stories and more when we come back. WABC News Time, 5:30. James Flippin, filling in for Noam Layden on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour.
The 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden
on 77 WABC.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour. Talking the news with Noah Layden. All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now, Talking the News with Noah on 77 WABC.
Good morning. James Flippin filling in for Noah Layden on this Tuesday, April 23rd. Chag Sameach. Happy Passover.
Taking my best shot at that anyway. Here's your Ramsey Mazda
3-day weather forecast kicking things off. Winds calm this morning around the tri-state. Cool but clear. In fact, some in our listening area could have some frost. And later today, we've got sunny skies getting up to 63. Overnight into Wednesday, increasing cloud cover with a low near 50. And tomorrow, Wednesday, a 50% chance of rain, topping out at 67. Sun in the forecast for Thursday. 44 right now in Midtown Manhattan, 40 in Linden, New Jersey, and 39 in Levittown on Long Island. That's the weather forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center.
Right now, these cities, these states, our country, we're pathetic. This is disgusting what's going on here.
And that's our own Sid Rosenberg talking at the rally he helped organize yesterday up near Columbia University. Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, pulling his donations to Columbia University amid these pro-Palestine protests. Kraft issued a statement through his organization, the Foundation to Combat Anti-Semitism. He called the protest virulent hate and said he's no longer confident that Columbia can protect its students and staff. Kraft has donated millions to his alma mater over the years, but says it's no longer an institution I recognize. And some are not happy with what President Biden had to say yesterday concerning his response to these college campus protests, as Biden did condemn the anti-Semitic protests.
I condemn the anti-Semitic protests. That's why I've set up a program to deal with that. I also condemn those who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians.
So that last part is the part that's, I guess, you know, controversial in terms of he said, I also condemn people who don't understand what's going on with the Palestinians. And he's talking about, you know, what some see as the unnecessary loss of innocent life amid the IDF's military campaign in Gaza. But, you know, others are saying, well, that is sort of like when some accused President Trump, a former President Trump, of saying there were people on both sides of the issue at Charlottesville, Virginia, who were good people, that there were fine people on both sides. And, you know, that whole thing has been, you know, frankly, so rehashed and analyzed from a million different, you know, the audio was kind of taken out of context in terms of what Trump was saying. And he really didn't say what some people thought he did. And in this case, it's fairly innocuous what you would think Biden would say. You know, he's trying to understand both sides, but it highlights the tension surrounding this whole issue. And it's certainly a tough needle to thread for Democrats right now, as they're trying to figure out how to placate the more kind of left-leaning aspect of their party and people who aren't happy about what they see as a rise in anti-Semitism. Moving away from the tri-state right now, the case of an Arizona rancher who stands accused of killing a migrant on his property is being declared a mistrial. The judge made the decision yesterday after jurors deliberated for 15 hours.
Dear Judge Fink, the jury followed your latest instructions, and don't believe we can render a unanimous decision on either count.
75-year-old George Kelly had been charged in the shooting death of a Mexican man who was crossing the U.S.-Mexico border illegally in 2023. Kelly says he fired the shots as a warning in order to protect his family and property. James Flippin filling in for Noam Layden on this Tuesday morning. It's April 23rd. Former President Trump preparing for court this morning in Lower Manhattan as his non-disclosure agreement trial, some call it the alleged hush money trial, will continue today. Trump also taking time to blame President Biden for Congress potentially banning the Chinese-owned social media app TikTok. Trump posted Biden is the reason TikTok could be banned. He says, quote, just so everyone knows, especially the young people. It is worth noting that while in office, Trump issued an executive order in 2020 looking to force the social media app's parent company, ByteDance, to sell its U.S. assets. That order later blocked in court. The new TikTok bill, which is heading to the Senate now, would require ByteDance to sell the app within a year or face an outright ban in the U.S. The Department of Justice is threatening to sue the New York City Police Department
over sidewalk parking.
The DOJ sent a letter to the department back at the end of March. The police are confirming the receipt of that letter and reviewing the guidelines. According to a study last year, there was an instance of illegal parking at 91% of the 77 precincts. The Justice Department says that illegal parking on the sidewalk violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. An NYPD spokesperson says it's a continued challenge the department faces due to limited space in the city. I'm Liz Radabali for WABC News.
And if you've ever followed that account or seen that account on social media, placard abuse, that's an account that focuses on things where, you know, city officials are parking in spots they shouldn't be, and then trying to make that happen through the use of placards that may or may not be legal. The Senate is expected to pass a $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan this week. Senate leaders aiming to quickly pass the legislation that cleared the House on Saturday this past weekend. It includes more than $60 billion of aid for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, and also included in the package is the legislation we were just talking about that would force TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance to sell the platform or be banned due to what officials say are national security concerns. And the first vote on the measure scheduled for early this afternoon. Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard arguments over whether homeless people can be cited for camping on public property. At the center of the case is the Oregon city of Grants Pass, which has been enforcing ordinances that ban camping in city parks and on public property. A lower court ruled if there are more homeless people than available shelter beds, the city can't fine people for camping outside. Oral arguments concluded yesterday after 2.5 hours. There is no word on when we can expect a decision. The Supreme Court also agreed to take up a key gun rights case.
This case involves so-called ghost guns. They're made from kits and can be bought with no background check. The ATF recently changed the rules, giving the government more power to regulate them. The kits must now come with serial numbers. But last year, a Texas-based judge ruled in favor of the makers and sellers of ghost guns. The question now before the High Court is whether the ATF has the power to change gun rules, or if that must come from Congress. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
And by the way, in terms of controversial legal issues, one has been the issue of squatters' rights in New York. And just this past week, the state budget that passed weeks later, it was just yesterday that the state budget was signed into effect. Over the weekend, state lawmakers passed an amendment to the squatters' law, saying that squatters should not be considered tenants when it comes to property disputes. And the whole thing here is that basically sometimes cops show up and they're not really sure who should be arrested for trespassing or who's the rightful owner or the rightful occupant of a property. And a lot of the time they say, look, this has to get decided in property court. But property court can take weeks, if not months. So the whole point is that they're trying to make it so that if people are just, you know, illegally showing up and squatting on a property, they don't get those rights that are supposed to be for tenants who overstayed a lease or were asked to leave or, you know, that type of thing. The MTA continues its crackdown on toll violators at bridges and tunnels.
The MTA says they issued nearly 800 tickets, seized 21 vehicles after targeting repeat toll violators over a couple days last week. MTA Chair Jano Lieber continues to say they're not messing around anymore.
You don't want this to happen to you, and you don't want to be stuck paying fines either. So best to keep your plates clear and uncovered. This is not a game.
The drivers busted over the last few days owed more than $500,000 combined. The MTA says they'll continue to have crews out waiting to bust those who don't pay their fair share. Noam Layden, WABC News.
Members of the Biden administration are pushing for federal funding so that high-tech scanners that could detect the flow of drugs from Mexico could be used at the border. They're currently sitting in a warehouse. The head of Homeland Security asking Congress for more cash to get them up and running. Well, I assure you that he is asking for that, but, you know, that soundbite doesn't want to play, so that's okay. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas called fentanyl the largest drug threat he's ever faced. He says more than even black tar heroin. These are supposedly non-intrusive inspection machines that look kind of like a car wash, and cars and trucks drive through, keeping traffic moving, ideally. WABC News Time, 5:45, and we're going to check in on sports now. Justin Ellick has the latest, as we've got playoff action all over the place to tell you about. here in New York City.
Thank you, James Flippin, on the hardwood at the Garden. We'll start Dante DiVincenzo, made a go-ahead three-pointer with 13 seconds remaining after a desperate scramble, and the Knicks beat the Philadelphia 76ers 104-101 to take a 2-0 lead in their first round playoff set. The Knicks trailed by 5 points within the final 30 seconds before one of the more stunning rallies in playoff history, starting when Jalen Brunson finally got a shot to fall during an otherwise miserable shooting night. Here's what it sounded like, courtesy of TNT.
DiVincenzo finds Brunson. Great defense here by the Sixers. Brunson gets a prayer of a bounce. 2-point game. Maxi hits the deck. Hart takes it from him. Shot clock is off. DiVincenzo, no. Hartenstein with an offensive rebound. Another chance here. DiVincenzo. He's got it. The Knicks have the lead again. Their defense turning into offense. What a flurry for the Knickerbockers.
What an ending that was. Hartenstein then blocked Maxey's drive. Anunoby made two free throws, and the Knicks held on when Joel Embiid missed a three-pointer at the buzzer. Brunson finished with 24 points despite going 8 for 29 from the field. Hart had 21 points, 15 rebounds, and DiVincenzo scored 19. Game 3, Thursday in Philadelphia. On the ice in Carolina, Sebastian Aho scored the tying goal late in the third period, followed by Martinuk with the winner 9 seconds later. And the Islanders fell to the Hurricanes 5-3, turning a 3-goal Game 2 lead into a 2-games-to-none deficit in their first-round playoff series. This one ended with frustrations as well, flaring for the Islanders. Several scrums between the teams. Multiple players taking early trips to the locker room. The series shifts north to Elmont for the next two, with Game 3 set for Thursday night. As for the Hockey Blue Shirts, they'll pick up round one action with the Caps tonight in Game 2 at the Garden. Puck drop there, set for 7 p.m. In baseball, the Yankees drop their opener at home to the Oakland Athletics. Final score 2-0. Game 2 against Oakland tonight at 7:05. Marcus Stroman on the bump. Out west, the Mets ended up on the losing side of things as well, falling 5-2 in their opener against the Giants at San Fran. Game 2 for them in San Francisco, scheduled for tonight at 9:45. Luis Severino primed to take the hill. That's your sports, James. I'm Justin Ellick, 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 5:49. James Flippin filling in for Noam Layden this morning on the 77 WABC 5 a.m. News Hour. So we told you, the Department of Homeland Security wants to use scanners that sort of look like a car wash to catch drugs at the southern border. Down south along I-95 in the Kensington section of Philadelphia, a horse tranquilizer known as xylazine has become a major epidemic, and there could soon be a vaccine to help prevent overdoses from what is sometimes known as the zombie drug.
Xylazine, the animal tranquilizer, a.k.a. zombie drug, is often mixed with fentanyl and heroin. Researchers at Scripps Research in La Jolla call this a groundbreaking development to save lives, saying the vaccine is working in rodent trials. The vaccine stimulates the immune system to reduce the level of the zombie drug in the bloodstream. The results published this month in the journal Chemical Communications. I'm Lucinda Kay.
And sticking with drugs for a second here, legendary hip-hop artist Eminem celebrating his 16th straight year of being sober. On Saturday, the Detroit rapper took to Instagram and talked about the milestone. He posted a photo showing his new silver Alcoholics Anonymous coin in the palm of his hand. The 16 coin means Eminem hasn't had a touch of a drop of alcohol or any other type of drug in 16 years. Friends and fans left supportive comments on the image, this coming after the Shady Records co-founder confronted his addiction to Vicodin, Valium, Ambien, and prescription drugs. Eminem was hospitalized in 2007 after nearly dying from an overdose of methadone. Also in the world of music, New Jersey's own Cool and the Gang are in fact celebrating this week. The band, formed in 1964 in Jersey City, will be inducted as part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's class of 2024. Robert Cool Bell, the last original surviving member, tells Billboard it feels great and all the guys would love it. The honor coming 55 years after the group released its self-titled debut album. And by the way, other tri-state locals also set to be honored by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame include Mary J. Blige of Yonkers and A Tribe Called Quest, whose members grew up in Brooklyn. The NBA is looking into a new long-term television rights deal that focuses on streaming, broadcasting via the internet. That's according to The Athletic, which reports the league is holding talks this week with companies including Amazon, as well as legacy media companies. The new deal could become as long as a decade. Its current media rights deals with ESPN and TNT, the NBA, expire in 2025. And the NBA currently makes $2.7 billion annually for its televised rights. A recent poll suggests that professionals in the U.S. are increasingly feeling a little bit of a shortfall in the support provided by their employers for workplace well-being. This is despite over 80% of employees stating the importance of mental health support when seeking out job opportunities. The poll was done by recruitment firm Robert Walters. It shows 60% of professionals think employees should be doing more to preserve employee well-being, and over half expect more from employers when it comes to employee well-being. The poll also reveals that 9 in 10 consider their well-being a top priority. Nurses outside of a Kaiser hospital in San Francisco yesterday took to the streets to protest the use of artificial intelligence in healthcare.
No computer, no AI, no cannot replace a human touch. It cannot tell, hold your loved one's hand. You cannot teach a computer how to have empathy.
And that's Amy Graywall, a registered nurse. California Nurses Association members say they're concerned about the hospital industry's implementation of untested and unregulated AI technology, as some AI experts believe the technology can provide doctors with easier access to patient data and information on new drugs to improve treatments. AI quickly entering hospitals across the country, Kaiser one of the earliest to get on board. And speaking of technology, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., an independent candidate for president, wants the entire U.S. budget available on blockchain if elected. Blockchain, the technology that makes use of things where transactions are listed online, and you can see things like typically with cryptocurrency, they use the blockchain. And the independent candidate for office said during a rally in Michigan Sunday that this would allow Americans to look up the budget at any time. Kennedy, familiar with the use of digital assets, he's accepting campaign donations in Bitcoin. And he's also discussed his plans to back the U.S. dollar with cryptocurrency if elected to the White House. But he basically says that public accounting of this way, or in this fashion, using technology, blockchain, would allow more transparency into how the government uses taxpayer money. Yesterday was Earth Day, and President Biden marked the occasion by announcing new grants for residential solar projects. Biden announced $7 billion in grants to ease what he refers to as the high startup costs for residential solar.
To award grants, 60 grants across the country to states, territories, tribal governments, municipalities, nonprofits, to develop programs to enable low-income and disadvantaged communities to benefit from residential solar power.
The grants coming from the big spending bill that the Biden White House calls the Inflation Reduction Act.
This new Solar for All program means that 900,000 households, 900,000, will have solar on the rooftops for the first time and soon.
And the White House claims the project will create 200,000 jobs. Biden, by the way, assuring Ukrainian President Zelensky that the U.S. will quickly send military aid to Kyiv in the battle against Russia.
The two leaders spoke on Monday as the Senate later this week is expected to pass a sweeping foreign aid package that includes more than $60 billion in military assistance for Ukraine. Biden told Zelensky the U.S. has a lasting commitment to supporting Ukraine as it defends its freedom against Russian aggression. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Popular clothing retailer Express has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and plans to close 100 stores across the U.S. And it looks like basically Express is going to close all 95 of its stores as well as all of its Up West locations. Following a similar announcement concerning a Houston to Dallas bullet train, construction of a high-speed electric rail line between Las Vegas and Los Angeles now underway. The route projected to cut the travel time between the two cities from about 3 to 4 hours right now. This would make it about more than two. Brightline West, in charge of the $12 billion project, it's received $3 billion in federal funding as of late last year. It's a 218-mile-long rail line expected to open to the public by 2028. And Brightline West says it aims to link other U.S. cities that are too close to reach each other for practical flying. Looking at today's economic calendar, S&P has their manufacturing and services PMI due out for April today. And at 10 a.m. this morning, we'll get March's new home sales. Here in the city, a third teenager now in custody for a deadly shooting at a Bronx subway platform that happened last month. The 15-year-old boy taken into custody this past weekend. He does face attempted murder and weapons charges. Cops say he was the final suspect they were looking for in the shooting death of Obed Beltran Sanchez. The 35-year-old killed, five others wounded, when police say gunfire erupted at the Mount Eden subway station. That was in February. I said last month. It was actually back in February. Not exactly clear what led up to that shooting. WABC News Time, 5:57. Time check from sponsored by Bulova Watches. You can discover finely crafted timepieces available at Macy's. WABC News Time, 5:59. James Flippin filling in for Noam Layden. And right now, we're going to turn to executive producer Justin Ellick and get a little bit of a sneak peek as to what to expect on Sid and Friends in the Morning this morning.
Thank you, James. Well, let me just pop on my EP cap here.
There we go. He's wearing it.
Bottom of each hour, don't miss
You took off the baseball glove and you put on the call screening.
Exactly. These are things you got to do. Quick scene changes.
It's true.
Bottom of each hour, don't miss the mini cast clip of the day. Before In the Way of Cast, kicking us off, 7:15, it's going to be Curtis Lee. We're live here in studio, 7:45, Brian Kilmeade, 8:45. We'll talk to America's mayor, of course, for his weekly Wednesday morning hit with Sid, Rudy Giuliani, before Teddy Atlas joins us, 9:15. We'll go to the New York Post as well in the 9 o'clock hour, James, 9:35. We'll wrap things out today with Michael Goodwin. It's a big day. We're in the news once again because of that big press conference we held yesterday outside of Columbia University. Sid hosted Congressman Anthony D'Esposito, Congressman Mike Lawler, County Executive Bruce Blakeman, and it was a rousing success. So we'll get into that. And all things in the news, James, coming at you in just a couple of minutes. Tuesday edition.
That's right.
Sitting Friends in the Morning, coming at you.
And repeating our top stories, 150 arrested at NYU, Columbia offering hybrid instruction amid these anti-Israel protests. All about that rally yesterday with Sid. That's coming up in a second here. And former President Trump's non-disclosure agreement trial continues. Congress may pass that foreign spending bill as soon as today in the Senate. I'm James Flippin. Good morning, everybody.